B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Misnelli Show. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check him out online at landisbc.com. And we missed him last Friday, but he's back. And he's back at a great time because the draft is coming up. We got a lot of things to talk to number 36, Brian Westbrook, the great 36 on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. How you doing today, big boy?
You know, Mikey Miss, good afternoon, good Friday to everyone there. I'm a little disappointed in myself today. I recently, literally 2 minutes ago, right before I jumped on the line, I jumped on the scale because I thought I was feeling fit. I've been doing push-ups and sit-ups, and I jumped on the scale. And pre-quarantine, so before a couple weeks ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I was right about 206. And I was trying to get down to 203, 204, you know, some 202, somewhere around there. At this point in time, I'm 212. So since the quarantine has started, I've gained weight where I thought I was losing weight. So I'm disappointed with myself. And according to my friends, they've gained much more than me. So we're all kind of in
Well, that's natural. It's almost impossible not to, right? I mean, you're just not, your movement has been restricted.
Yeah, also the snacks, my snack drawer, my snack.
Yeah, because you sit around in boredom, you eat snacks.
Oh, my goodness, it's been really, really rough.
Yeah, it's not good. That's why I've tried to, like, just eat twice a day to make up for the difference, but, you know.
You know, I tried that intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, that's kind of what I do, yeah.
So, you know, it's a great idea. So I eat right before 7, you know, then I'm supposed to fast from 7 to 11 a.m. or something to that effect. But right around 10:30, right before I start getting ready to go to bed, I need a handful of chips or pretzels or
you know,
something.
That's the worst because I feel the same thing. I get this pang at night to eat, and you just can't. You know what you do? Just fill it with water. Drink yeah, like 32 ounces. Seriously, because that'll fill your belly a little bit, and the hunger will deplete a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try the water.
You might have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but the water will fill the belly.
That may be a good idea. What's going on in your end, man? How is everything going for you?
Well, we're hanging in there. We're still doing the good work here, and we're still being safe, obviously. And so, you know, it's a really interesting week next week with the quarantine draft. And I want to talk to you about that right out of the chute and what you think. First of all, the parameters of it have been set. They're going to have a mock draft on Monday, work out whatever bugs they're going to have here. Hopefully it goes off smoothly, but I am really anticipating this. I know there has been some controversy that they shouldn't have at this particular time, but it's like the first live sporting event that we can actually almost reach out and touch here with our TV screen. So how are you feeling about the excitement of this draft?
You know, I kind of feel the same as you. I don't think that they should be having it now, but I'm also really happy that they are because it gives us something different to talk about. And the same thing for you. I'm in the media now. And I do the national TV stuff throughout the week, and then I come on with you guys on Friday. Really, the thing that I look forward to most is to come on with you guys on Friday. And we've been searching for things to talk about realistically. Mm-hmm. You know, we came up with all the different lists, and is Kobe better than Jordan? Is Jordan better than LeBron? And, you know, we have all these different things to talk about that really, you know, we've talked about many times before, but this is the first thing, the NFL draft, that we have that slide to talk about. So for me, this is the thing that I'm looking forward to. You know, in theory, I'm not a big fan of the draft, just in general. I think that so many drafts are overrated. I think that when you look at the 300 and some odd players that will be drafted, not very many of them will help be helpful for football teams and that will play early. But at this point, you know, and have sitting in the house for the last month, this is the thing that I've been looking forward to, and I'm excited about next week, just probably like everyone else.
All right, so let's talk about a couple scenarios that we've been talking about. Like yesterday, we had a poll, and the poll was whether you would be inclined to move up in the draft and get aggressive or to stay where you were. Stay where you were won the poll yesterday. Today, The exact opposite feeling is coming here. Because yesterday I was saying, usually an Eagle fan is aggressive, and the notion of trading up to get one of these higher-rated players would be right in their wheelhouse. But yesterday it didn't turn out that way. Today, a little bit different. Can you read why fans would not want to trade up?
I think the biggest thing and the biggest reason why fans wouldn't want to trade up, and I don't know that this is the right thinking, but I think the fans are not happy with the draft picks no matter where we pick that. So whether we pick that 21 or 15 or 12, they're just not satisfied with the picks that we've had. We had an opportunity last year, and of course, we got, you know, Arcega Whiteside, you know, we got other receivers, things like that, that didn't really help us. And so I think the fans' thought process is if we trade back, we'll get more value, meaning more picks, and hopefully one of those picks will hit. And that's a better odds than saying we're going to draft at 21 and we know this one guy has to be the quote-unquote savior of our offense, the wide receiver that's going to be that number one guy and get us 80 or 90 catches and over 1,000 yards. People are saying, I would rather trade back, get a second and third rounder, and hopefully that pick will hit opposed to that first rounder. I think it kind of takes the pressure off the team and Howie Roseman just a little bit by saying we're going to fall back or trade back in the draft so that we can get multiple picks.
Well, how do you feel about that? Is that an okay philosophy with you?
Absolutely not. My philosophy has always been be aggressive, go get the guy that you want. And if you're telling me that CeeDee Lamb or Ruggs or Judy fits exactly what you want to do, meaning they can get open and all of these guys can, they can run good routes, they have elite speed, then that's the type of guy that you need to get. You don't need to say, well, I can win with a guy that's going to be drafted in the second or third round. How about you go get a guy that you know for sure that you can win with right now instead of a guy that you're going to have to tinker with and hopefully he develops a little bit more and he can be the next guy. No, let's find a guy that we can plug and play right now that we know can fit our offense, that we know can fit our needs, that can help us win right now. And if we can do that, I will be much more happier than us trading back to get multiple players in the second and third round.
See, I absolutely 100% agree with you. Now let's take this concept of the better odds are with quantity. Like if you get more players and more draft picks, the better chances that somebody's going to hit. Now, to me, it's the exact opposite. Because when you're talking about like having better odds and having more chances in the contest, like the lottery ticket or putting a quarter on numbers at a boardwalk, all those chances are the same value. Mm-hmm. And in football, they're clearly not the same value. There's a reason why you're a second, third rounder. So why would people think that there are better odds because you have more picks when the players aren't the same level?
Well, people think that because teams like the Patriots and sometimes the Ravens traditionally trade out of that first round. They're saying, you know what, I don't want the 30th pick if you're the Patriots, traditionally 31st, 32nd pick. I'm going to trade out of the first round and pick up an additional second rounder, an additional third rounder, and then I'll be able to cultivate those guys into much better players. The thing about the Eagles, and this is not a knock on them, I think this is just the truth, we haven't seen them cultivate a bunch of players that they have taken second and third rounders, and now they look like first rounders. Sidney Jones, he doesn't look like a first rounder, even though he had first round talent. They picked him up in the second round, I believe, and you know, he still hasn't gotten any better. I don't know that this coaching staff has made a bunch of progress as far as making guys much better than what we thought they were. I'll give you an example. Dallas Goedert, he seems pretty, I mean, when he coming out, he was one of the better tight ends. I don't know that he's just turned into this great tight end. He looks okay. He's had opportunities. Of course, he's playing behind Zach Ertz, but he hasn't kind of taken the league by storm. He's just kind of average, in my opinion, thus far. And I think he has a lot more upside, but he hasn't, this coaching staff and this team hasn't made him into Travis Kelce. They haven't turned him into that. They haven't turned him into George Kittle. He, at this point in his career, he's just a guy. And so if the fans are saying, you know what, I would just rather, you know, for some teams, you're talking about the Patriots, they know how to cultivate guys. They know how to make guys better. I haven't seen our team do that. And so that's the biggest reason. I want to go get a guy that's ready-made. I want to get a guy that's ready to play and compete in the NFL right now. And for the position that we need, We need a number one receiver. We need an elite guy to be able to do that. And that's why I'm talking about moving up to get a guy that can be the number one guy. I'm not talking about moving back and getting the second or third guy. We need a number one receiver. And that's why I'm talking about moving up.
You know, I am 100% with you. But like when people, this mistrust of Howie Roseman, it cuts two ways now. I don't see which way you think it does. Like, do you think this fan base trusts Howie Roseman more because of a quantity of picks rather than his judgment on moving up for the one pick?
I think that it's normal human behavior to believe that if I get more quantity, I have a better chance. And I think
that goes in with the mistrust of Howie. Does that make him a better general manager by getting a lot more picks in the second, third round?
No, it does not make him a better general manager. It just makes him, you know,
in their eyes, you think. I know in you and I's eyes, no. But in their eyes, do you think they're looking at how, well, he's not a good Italian evaluator, so I can't trust him to trade up to get the guy anyway. So we might as well take our chance with more players and hopefully one hits.
Yeah, I think that's what people are feeling. I think that's what they're saying as well, that we would rather take the chance with more players and hopefully one of those players hits. But I think your example of the lottery, or even when you're talking about comparing talent, if you're saying a first-round talent and this guy has plenty of upside, this is a guy, he's great right now, but he has more upside, that's the guy that I want. I don't want a guy that has potential. We just haven't seen it yet. I don't want that guy. I want a guy that has shown it already that we can say, put on this tape, and I'll show you why he's a number one receiver. That's the guy that I want in our football team.
All right, let's go over your evaluation of what you've seen, because you're watching these guys a lot. And we know the upper echelon is Judy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs III. And then there's Justin Jefferson in there. Now, the one guy it looks like the Eagles like a lot is the guy from Baylor, Denzel Mims. And you saw him at the Combine. He looked great at the Combine. He had great production at Baylor. So I'm looking at this mock draft story, which has the Eagles trading back to 30 from 21. And in that trade, the Packers will grab Jordan Love, the quarterback, at 21. And they're going to give the Eagles the 94th pick, the 30th, 94th in the third round, and the 175th pick in the fifth round to move to 30. Do you like that scenario?
You know, here's the hard part, and this is what we don't know until actually draft night. What happens before the Eagles pick? Let's say they can't get down from 21 to 12. To get one of these top-tier receivers. What if they're just not able to? And there's been years where, you know, before last year, before they drafted Miles Sanders, they were trying to find a way to get down to draft a running back in the first, or either late first or early second round. They just couldn't find the slot. And so they've tried in different years to move, and there's been situations where they can't. And this year may not be any different, where they may try to get up and get Judy or Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb, and they're just not able to. And so they may have to, at that point, fall back, and they still be able to get a guy that they like Mims or Pittman Jr., who's a big receiver, probably doesn't fit what we're looking for, but just throwing out a name there. But, I mean, so I can understand that. But listen, Howie has always been aggressive. He's always looked to trade up. He's always been aggressive in free agency. And I think his number one deal at this point is to find someone, a young guy, that can complement Carson Wentz, that they can grow together. So I think at this point, as we look at the draft, no matter how you look at it and do you want to move back this and the other, Howie Roseman wants to find a guy that Carson Wentz can tutor and mentor as they grow together. And I think you have to move up to get that guy if you're the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, I'm gonna read an email that I just got from a guy, and he makes a case that CeeDee Lamb would be a mistake. And so, and here's the way it reads. The Big 12 versus the SEC wide receiver disparity is a real thing. For example, since 2014, there has been only one first round wide receiver who was selected to the Pro Bowl. That's Amari Cooper. He was from the SEC. Since 2014, the Big 12 has consistently produced busts at wide receiver, which include Kevin White, that's a West Virginia guy, Corey Coleman, Josh Doxson, Also, last year's draft showcased three really good SEC receivers, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and Deebo Samuel. That being said, I would only trade up for a difference maker at wide receiver, one of the Alabama guys. I believe CeeDee Lamb will not be a difference maker because he was a product of the Lincoln Riley system, which inflates offensive player numbers. That's from Joseph Hamilton. Your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, this is what I see when I look at CeeDee Lamb. Very explosive. I think that he can hurt you on every level of the field, meaning if he catches the ball short, he has the ability to make you miss and go the distance. Same thing in the middle of the field and the deep threat, he can be that as well. I think that, you know, he has the potential to be a really good receiver in the NFL. The one thing I love about him probably that most people have talked about CeeDee Lamb is his ability after the ball is in his hands. His ability to make people miss and make plays down the field. And I think he has the ability to be a vertical threat. I think he can jump up over receivers. And I think in the open field, he's pretty elusive. And again, this is the type of guy that you're looking for. A bigger receiver, he's 6'2", you know, almost 200 pounds. A guy that can be a number one receiver that after he catches a 5-yard slant from Carson Wentz, he can take it the distance. He can make a guy miss. You know, I think that some people have compared him to Chad Johnson. I kind of, you know, I don't know that he's a T.O. clone, but size-wise, he's similar to T.O. in just the way. I think he can get things done. I have no problem with us moving up to get a guy like CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, so that comparison that he made between Big 12 receivers and SEC receivers doesn't cut any ice with you.
No, I think, you know, I know that there are usually, you can say, well, this guy's from the Pac-10, you know, all these different things. And I understand this is a soft conference, whether it's a tougher conference and things like that. And sometimes those things are true. But I think at this position for these types of guys, these receivers, the top three, top four receivers, I'm not necessarily looking at the conference that they played in. I'm looking at their skill set. And does that skill set apply to what we need them to do in the NFL? And so I'm not as worried about their conference that they played in for these types of guys.
He also left something out. Marquise Brown was rehabbing a Liz Frank injury. So he's coming off a Liz Frank injury. He still managed to get 585 yards last year as a rookie, coming off a bad foot injury from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, well, he's naming all these other guys. That's last year's draft.
The only other guys, see, Doxon and Corey Coleman were not in the highest draft plane. They were, like, Doxon was, like, near 20, wasn't he?
I thought he was late.
And Kevin White is the comparison. He was taken, like, or set,
the problem
like
with that is he broke his shin and he missed his first 2 years due to injury. That's not the conference's fault. Like, I'm not going to not draft a guy from a conference because someone else had a stress fracture in his shin.
This is the guys making a comparison. The wide receivers that come out of the Big 12 have not been as successful as the SEC. I think that's what his point is here.
Right. I'm just saying he has to put a little bit more facts in his thing. If a guy gets hurt, that's not the same as him being not productive. They're not the same.
Yes.
And he can't skip a first rounder who managed to get 585 yards coming off a foot injury.
Okay. Now, Denzel Miller is in the same position now. Now you're talking about a guy, Big 12. So I gave you the scenario, Brian, where the Eagles would get the draft picks and get to 30 where they could get him. Let's just say that he's the guy they can get. Are you in or out?
Bigger body, you know, 6'3", bigger type of player. I think he's more of a vertical threat. Personally, I don't know that this is exactly what I want for the Eagles. Again, I'm looking for speed. I'm looking for separation.
4.38. Mims 4.38.
I'm not saying that he is not fast. I'm not saying that by any means. But those are the things I'm looking for: speed, separation, the ability to go make that big catch. And again, he's a big kid at 6'3". I think he does have pretty good speed with that 4.38. I just don't know. In my mind, as I envision it, I'm looking at a guy 5'11", 6 foot, 6'1". Not a bigger body, because they already have a few big bodies in Alshon if they decide to bring him back. And J.J. Arcega, Whiteside, and I want to make sure that this guy, the guy that we get, can get that separation at all times.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Mims can't. I'm just saying that that's not the type of guy that I'm necessarily looking at.
All right. That's fair. Let's go to the phones. Mike is calling from Seattle. Mike, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hello. wanted to say it's an honor to speak with Mr. Westbrook. With respect to the draft, I think I agree that I don't really follow the stigma that it should be a draft where you trade back. I don't think a linebacker either is necessarily the way to go. Or if you do pick a linebacker, I think he better be, you know, one of the best linebackers in the history of the NFL. Otherwise,
you know, those two linebackers are no joke that they're talking about taking. Mm-hmm. Both of them are pretty good players. Mary and Queen are pretty good players.
Yeah, I just think the majority wants a wide receiver playmaker. So if you go linebacker role, I mean, I'm not qualified to say whether that's a good pick or not. I just think if that person doesn't produce, you're going to have a lot of flack from the fan base.
There's no question. But he could turn out to be a beast, and there wouldn't be any flack. Not like they're not going to get a receiver. If they take a linebacker in the first round, there's no question in my mind that they're either going to move up to get the next best receiver that's on their board in the second round and take care of that. So there would be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not going to say I'm more qualified than they are or than you are to say who's the best person to pick. I just know the realities of if you pick a linebacker and it doesn't pan out, that there's going to be a lot of people
there. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah.
With respect to actually watching the draft or it happening, you know, I have mixed feelings. Obviously, you know, I was looking up, like, when is the draft? When does it start? And, you know, it's exciting just to have something like that live because it literally there hasn't been anything live in a couple months. But I still do feel, you know, mixed about it because there are dangers, real dangers of, you know, the people who are at the draft parties or whatever else with the extra people being drafted, that they're not going to take the precautions.
Yeah, well, I've talked about that until, my face is red about the parties that we, and you know what? There's going to be. People are, responsible people are having these gatherings, you know?
Right.
These people that know, that should know better, much less people that want, like, this is the moment of their lives. How are they going to turn away from having people over to celebrate?
Yeah, it's hard to do that. And I can't imagine not having my family there for an achievement being drafted that we waited so long. And of course, you got to mind the rules of the quarantine and things like that. So I understand that. I went back and looked at, I'm looking on NFL.com about the strengths and weaknesses of Denzel Mims. And I just wanted to make sure it matched up with the thoughts that I had. And one of the weaknesses, and this is a concern for me, lacks release quickness to slide past press jam coverage. That's a weakness for me. I mean, to me, again, we have a bunch of big receivers, which what I talked about, and it concerns if you can't get off that press coverage early because Carson has a tendency to just get off you completely if you do not get off the line of scrimmage and clear man coverage. That's why he had that little bit of bond with DeSean Jackson because of his quickness off the line of scrimmage. It also mentions that you know, he's dull and lacks urgency in some of his route running. That again, these are things that concern me. And, of course, the weakness is something that you can work on. But coming out of school, we want to find a guy that is ready to go right now, just plug and play and allow him to go get your 80 catches.
All right, you're out on Mims. That's it. You're not making that trade. You're out.
To me, that's not the guy that I'm looking for, no.
All right, I'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Brian, I'm going to give you a chance to do something we did a little earlier today, and it's the draft. This is a draft on movie football players.
Football
players from movies. I'm going to give you all the eligible people, and you got to take your team. We've already given our team. We'll get the Brian Westbrook team after this with the movie football players by position. Mike Missanelli Show, Brian Westbrook with us till 5 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time to update our Twitter poll for today at 4:30. And Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Son. So with Natalie Agonoff, Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on poll number one. Weekly check-in. Are you and your significant other still getting along? 79% say yes. 21% say no. So again, those numbers remaining steady.
They are.
Over this quarantine.
A lot of people are not communicating and they're taking that as they're getting along with this. One's in one room, the other's in the other room, and this one's going, what do you want from me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Brian, how you feel about that poll? How you making out with it?
You know what? Things are still going pretty well here. You know, one thing that I hate, and this is pre-quarantine, is walking around and not speaking to my wife. I just can't stand it. My wife, you know, when we first got married, that was her go-to. That, hey, okay, I'm mad at you. I'm not going to speak to you. And that's, we had to have so many conversations. Like, listen, I understand that you're mad. I understand that you don't like me right now or you're upset, but let's not go to the situation where we don't talk. I just can't stand walking around the same house with a loved one, my wife, my kids, whoever it is, and not speaking. That's just one of the things. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Look at you, man, laying it out in an honest, pragmatic fashion to the wife. Because, you know, let's face it, I don't want to stereotype here, but that's a good tool that a woman can use, this, you know, the ISO treatment.
Yeah.
Now you have to admit, the woman can ISO. The woman's good at the ISO move.
Oh, yeah. Love it. We love the ISO move.
Love it. So now that your wife knows that gets under your skin, Brian, that she pull that lever every now and then? Where
you hit the nail right on the head, Mike. You absolutely did. As soon as she knows this got me upset, that's her go-to move now. Uh-huh. Oh, I won't speak to him for 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And I go crazy for 24 hours. It
works like a charm.
Absolutely.
Every time it happens, you try to go, listen, you know, I know what you're doing. It's not right. We're a married couple. We're close. There's no need for this. So let's just talk it out. That's the more. That's the pragmatic guy.
No.
You are. No. Oh, you don't do.
No.
Oh,
I've already told her how I feel. Now she's doing it on purpose. So now to counteract what she's doing, I have to ignore her completely.
You got to beat her to the punch with the counter move.
That's right.
Nice.
I got to ignore her first. And then she'll get the picture. Now she'll get a taste of her own medicine.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Preemptive strike. I like it. All right. Let me just play this little game with you here. It's the 2020 Draft Movie Edition, which is came up with our digital manager, Nicole, came up with this. So these are all like, you have to pick one running back, two receivers, one quarterback, and three defensive players. So the running back selection is from Booby Miles from Friday Night Lights, Earl Meggett from The Longest Yard, Julian Washington from Any Given Sunday, or Darnell Jefferson from The Program. Where are you going?
Darnell Jefferson, no doubt about it.
You're going Darnell. See, he was my second choice because I think he had big upside in the league. But I went.
He had a huge upside. He just had a fumbling issue. He couldn't focus long enough to keep the ball in his hand.
That's
but
a factor.
He had great upside.
That's a factor. I went with the skilled ball carrier who's already in the league in Julian Washington because I can't get, like, the others are a projection. You know?
Yeah, I like upside. I like upside.
Okay,
give me a little upside, Mike.
You're going Darnell Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Receivers, pick two from Rod Tidwell from Jerry Maguire, Charlie Tweeter from Varsity Blues, Clifford Franklin from The Replacements, Deacon Moss from The Longest Yard, Forrest Gump from Forrest Gump, Brian Murphy from The Replacements, or Cheeseburger Eddie from The Longest Yard.
Wow, this is a tough category here. I'm going to go with Cheeseburger Eddie just because I like the name. Not because he was special, but just because I like the name. And there was, did you say Tinsdale?
No, Tidwell. Rod Tidwell from Jerry Maguire.
Rod Tidwell.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding, Jerry.
Yes, there he is.
All right, because everybody got to go Tidwell. He's in the league. He's a superstar in the league.
Of course.
He's going to get paid. All right, so you want Cheeseburger Eddie and Tidwell. All right, mm-hmm. Quarterback, Jonathan Moxon from Varsity Blues, Shane Falco from The Replacements, Mike Winchell from Friday Night Lights, Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday, Ronnie Sunshine Bass from Remember the Titans, and Paul Crewe from the longest yard?
Willie Beeman.
That's a unanimous. Yeah, Willie Beeman and Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, he took Al Pacino's death. I mean, he cussed him. He did a lot of different things. Willie Beeman is the choice, of course.
That is the choice. And now we go, first of all, the one thing, yeah, Shane Falco, you know, that's the second time he played quarterback, Tyrone.
What was the other time?
Well, it was the first time Keanu played quarterback.
Didn't he play quarterback? Well, he wasn't a quarterback. This wasn't a sports movie, but.
He played.
Wasn't he a quarterback?
Go ahead,
Brian. Johnny Utah?
Yeah, it is. There it is. Point Break. Johnny Utah from Ohio State. he's displayed his skills on the beach.
You know, you can make the argument that he should be the pick then because he has the most seasoning. All went Willie Beeman. Right. He got the most seasoning. He got the most seasoning as a quarterback.
Yeah, he did. He's like Matt Leinart. Yeah. All right. All right, let's go to defense now. Three. You got to pick three. Julius Campbell, defensive lineman from, remember, the Titans. Bobby Boucher, linebacker from the Waterboy. Petey Jones, defensive back from Remember the Titans. Rudy Rudiger, defensive back from Rudy. Gary Bertier, strong side, linebacker from Remember the Titans. Vontaze Mack from Draft Day. Eric Chavez, defensive back, Friday Night Lights. Nate Ruffin, defensive back, We Are Marshall. Or Spike Hammersmith, linebacker for the Little Giants. Where are you going?
Well, how in the world am I supposed to remember any of these names? I will tell you this. The linebacker that said weak side, strong side, we used to say that. I used to hear some of our linebackers saying that during camp and just messing around. So whoever that guy was,
That's Gary Bertier.
Okay,
Julius Campbell was on the same team. So either the defensive lineman or the linebacker you want.
I want the defense line. Let's go defense line.
All right, that's Julius Campbell.
And one guy you guys didn't mention, he should be in it because he was in the program. Alvin Mack, did you have him in there?
No.
What about Latimer? You didn't have him in there?
Hold on. The crazy one?
You
the
can't have guy? Roided up to his gills.
He's roided, man. It's a, well, he would have passed the test.
A lot of people have roided up.
He would have passed
the test. What about Alvin Mack? Alvin Mack was the man in the program.
He was, but this is why he's out. They did that terrible. Matter of fact, Brian, you could. I always thought it was ridiculous when they did that thing where they hit pads and then they did the spit thing, which was disgusting. That's enough to disqualify me. He can't play on my team. Can't be on my locker room doing that.
Tyrone, that's nasty in today's version, but back in the day, that happened all the time.
In your locker rooms that used to happen? I've always wanted to ask a pro athlete about that nastiness.
No. We never did that. But.
Well, not you specifically. I'm saying you've seen that? That movie was
the
90s.
Nasty stuff.
Oh, man.
I played in a Pro Bowl with Larry Allen, who was the nastiest. He was the nicest guy ever, but the nastiest player that I've ever seen. Spit, you know, I'm talking about from his dip, spit all down his jersey, all over everywhere. He had a can of dip in his sock throughout practice during the Pro Bowl. I mean, just a nasty dude. I mean, just a mean, nasty dude. So I've seen that up close and personal. So, yeah, I mean, just imagine the old school player. They got after it a little bit.
That's fair.
All right, the best defender's not even on this list because it's not a sports movie. But Tyrone, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Forrest Whitaker as Charles Jefferson. Oh, man. You remember? Oh, man, coming over the top, just burying fools.
Yeah,
because they mess his car up.
That's true.
All right. 610-632-0975. If you want to talk to Brian Westbrook, it's a good time. We got a couple lines open. Once in a lifetime opportunity to talk with my man about the draft. He's only going to be here till 5. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Rice, 4:46.
Mike Mussinelli, Chef Ryan Westbrook till 5 o'clock. How you doing out there, Brian? All right?
You know, I'm doing well. You know, the one thing, and I've been thinking about this, how are things going to change after we come out to quarantine? And have we learned anything? Like, and I'll give you one example that I was thinking about. You know those tolls? And so because I go back and forth between New York and Philly and D.C., now they don't have people at the toll booths any longer, right? They're just kind of like the cashless toll booths.
And yes.
So in my mind, why would we ever go back to a situation where you have people at the toll booths at all, period? So I'm wondering, is there any other businesses or things that will never go back to doing the way that, you know, doing business the way that they used to? And the other thing that I'm wondering about you, Mike, in particular is, what are you doing for your hair? Are you cutting your hair yourself?
No.
Are you just letting it grow? Are you growing a bush? Or are you sneaking to your hairdresser from time to time?
No, there's no hairdressers to go to. My hair is just growing out. I don't know. I'm not going to cut it myself. I don't know how to cut it myself. I mean, I got clippers that I can tighten it up on the side, but it's still it's going to look moppy because of what I got going on top. So I'm just letting it go. And I got a good tee going. So I'm going to, you know.
Wow.
I'm wolfing,
you know,
right now.
He brings up a good point. I get my hair stuff from a African-American section of a specialty hair care place. Those are
mm-hmm.
closed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get what I need at a drugstore.
Rite Aid has those.
Nope, not what I need.
No?
Nope, they have, depending on mm-hmm. the one, but none of them have what I need. I'm about a week away from having to wear hats every day.
Uh-oh.
1 week.
I'm going to put some people out of a job. I tell you what's really going to change, and it's... And people are going to lobby for it, and there's no good reason now to turn it down. It's working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that would downsize offices and, you know, and hurt rent hurt office rentals, stuff like that. Like, that's going to be a big change, the working from home thing.
You know, one of the things that I think people are realizing that you're much more productive at home, even with the kids being there, than you probably are at work. Because I know that if I'm at work, I'm saying, you know, I'm going to take me 15 minutes, whether I'm scheduled to take a break or not, and I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to search the internet. I'm going to do different things. Then I call my brother here, you know, who's been home, you know, teleworking for the last month, and he's working from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night because he's like, I got to do so much more while at home, which is kind of crazy. And so I can see a lot of jobs never going back to the traditional come into work Monday through Friday type of deal anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if I get work. I like the breakup of like leaving the home and then coming back to it. You know, I don't know if I don't think staying home all the time would be good for me.
Yeah, you seem like the type of guy that gets a little bored, and you know,
unless I'm buying the winery that I want to buy, then I could do the show for the winery. Like work in the morning.
I got a horse farm that you could buy. You could turn it very easily into a winery.
You got cut up with some vines out there. See, those vines would take 6 years to mature, though.
You take a long time.
I don't have 6 years to live, much less 6 years to mature. So
I need
an existing winery that's, you know, I can go out and just trim the twigs every now and then. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Let's get back to the phones and go to Paul in Germantown. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Once again, as usual, Don Mussinelli, good to talk to you. The lovely Natalie Eganoff Cooper. So does Bradley get his mind right? And of course, my mentor, Tyrone Johnson. And the greatest running back to ever put an Eagles jersey on, Mr. Brian Westbrook. And B. West,
thank you.
Let me say this. I swear I wish you was playing in today's football, you'd be filthy rich. Filthy. With everything you brought to the table, you'd be filthy rich, B. West.
Christian McCaffrey got paid $16 million a year. Yeah. I'll take some of that money.
That's what I mean. They all went to B. West mold right now.
Oh, they watched the film. Oh, they watched the tape. Okay, they watched the tape. And I want to thank B. West for helping me win 2 Madden tournaments. Okay, that's my guy. The wheel route out the backfield was unstoppable, and I didn't overthrow it like McMahon. Okay, so let's get into it right here. Mike, listen, Mike, what you have to realize with a lot of fans out here is that when you say something, they just go against the grain because you say it. The fans that are scared of Howie Roseman and say that he can't draft, Howie's had a lot of troubles, and he's had some good picks. The problem is we don't understand his ideology in evaluating talent. And to make it simpler for fans out there, The reason you move up is to take that out of Howie Roseman's hands and pick the best guy. We don't need him reaching for a guy. You move up to get the better guy. Now, if I was moving up, I'm looking at San Francisco, Mike. They have two first-round picks, and then they don't pick again until the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can work something out with San Francisco.
I agree. You can grab 13.
Yeah, you can work. You can work something out.
Wait, you got 13. I know. You got to know that Lamb's going to be there at 13. Otherwise, like, you know.
Well, just the thing, and Lamb may not be there at 13, but Ruggs could be there at 13.
Well, he probably will be there at 13. So,
you know, so
do you trade up? If you love CeeDee Lamb, do you trade up with the same zeal to get Ruggs? You know, you got to almost know you're going to get CeeDee Lamb if you really like him.
Well, we also know who Howie trained under. Howie trained under Joe Banner. And Howie is not a talent guy. Howie is a numbers guy. So the only reason you're talking about trading back out of the first round is because you want more control over a guy's money and his contract by trading back, because he's not slotted.
Yeah, he
you don't
want to
take a slotted guy in the first round.
Yeah, I got you. But, you know, at this point, you have a lot of people to answer to, including your fan base, to get that guy. And here's the thing, Brian. They have given this team to the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to be the leader in the clubhouse as well, also on the field. So you have to accommodate him the best way you can. Do you accommodate him by trading back or getting the guy?
Well, I think if you're Howie, your goal is to win another Super Bowl, and going to get the guy is the only way that this team has the ability to do that. And so to me, you stay aggressive, and as long as Howie is a GM, and this is kind of what he's always said in everything that he said, every time he's spoken, that we're going to be aggressive. We're going to go after it. We're going to make sure that we have the best players that we can possibly get. And to me, that doesn't mean that we're going to trade back in a draft where you have to have a number one receiver, because you remember in this draft, in my mind, you can't come away with this draft with just one receiver. You need two, three receivers in my mind, not just one. And so there's no way in my mind that you're going to trade back and take a second, third tier receiver, because at this point, for this football team, you need a guy that can be a true number one that can go get you 80-plus catches every single season.
All right, last scenario before I let you go here. A stud linebacker is the best available player at 21, and you can guarantee to get K.J. Hamler with your first pick in the second round. Are you in?
I'm not taking a linebacker in the first round. I'm just not. We talk about, you know, how this team hasn't valued certain positions and things like that, and linebacker probably is one of them. To me, the linebacker position, unless you're blitzing them all the time, doesn't shift the dynamic for this team enough for it to be a first-round pick. I want a receiver in the first round so we can score points down the field. We need speed similar to what we saw in Kansas City last year.
All right. Sounds good. Listen, have a great weekend, Brian. Be safe. And we will talk to you the day after the draft.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Take care. There he is. Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday from 4 to 5. So we roll into the 5 o'clock hour, and it's all your calls. And I'm sorry, Brian. Tyron, what was that? Oh, we have the comedy thing. Oh, I forgot about the comedy thing. That's right. Comedy week. I'm at that. I forgot completely about it. I wanted to play with Brian, actually. I got carried away.
That's 5 o'clock. I didn't know if you wanted to do it while you had Brian.
That's all right. I had it written down here. I'm an idiot. So in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll play the comedy of Joe Coy. J-O-K-O-Y. And your calls. 610-632-0975. We are back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.